Blog Talk Radio.
And we are ready today to talk. And we're going to start off with just saying that we've had a very positive convention in Goshen, Mississippi, and we would have loved to have had an audience. However, we were able to be flexible and get things going, and we've documented our first convention. And next year will be better, and the year after that will be even better, and each year improvements will happen. But we have some of the most awesome people to give us a lot of information, and we were able to document it, and we will soon be able to see that in some effect online so that the rest of you can join us. So that being said, turn off all your background noise, people, and let's talk today. And we're going to start out with Brother Brown. I know Brother Brown had a lot of information that he wanted to share, just in terms of some of the things that were going on with NAFTA and all the other stuff. Okay, are you there, Brother Brown? Not yet. Okay. We will go on to Ashira. What are you thinking? You can open it up. I'm going there. It's too hot in there. Okay.
Wonder if my phone is on mute or something.
I can hear you. Can you
hear
me?
You can hear me. I hear you just fine there. Okay. And we have with us today someone we haven't heard from in a very long time. And you were at the convention, David. Would you like to share anything?
You know, let me pass for the time being.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind?
If you want to talk about, I'll do the best I can. But I
okay,
just
GQ, what do you think? Well, we're just looking for, you know, one of the quotes from the conference. What did you bring out of the conference? What did you learn anything new that you didn't know and that sort of thing?
Well, the thing I was quite impressed with was when Empress Qi made comments which are very similar to a discussion that I had with Marvin a couple days ago about not being as interested in civil rights as in human rights, in the idea that the idea that someone can give you your civil rights implies that they have custody or control over your civil rights, which is civil rights are a natural right, not something that one person has a right to hold over another person. And I think that that's quite interesting and worthwhile, especially in the context of the slaughter that took place in the church in South Carolina. And this business with that obscene flag that these people, white supremacists, obviously are intent on displaying, with the stupid rationalization that this is about their heritage. It would be quite similar to Germany flying the Nazi flag because it's part of their heritage, which it is. So what? It's a disgusting, loathsome, embarrassing, shameful heritage. And if they're proud of that, that just shows how stupid and backwards they are. And I am absolutely tired and disgusted of the hypocrisy that I hear in the media from white people talking about the flag, the Confederate flag, and after the shooting in South Carolina, I think she's the mayor of South Carolina. This blonde woman is talking about how we're all family here. That is bullshit. You know, what kind of family members? We'd be the black sheep of any family that she's in, that's
right,
for sure. But they're, you know, they say it because talk is cheap. And, you know, when the rubber meets the road, they're as much white supremacists as they would have been 50 years ago. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true. So true. GQ, are you out there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You can hear us. Well, we haven't heard from you in such a long time, and you always add such quality conversation. Tell me, what do you think is important right about today for all of us to know and to be thinking about?
Well, I'd like to see more people be more proactive, like this past weekend. A young lady by the name of Bree Newsom just climbed up the flagpole and took it down. You know, I want to see.
It's great
to make plans and everything. We definitely need to act.
I'm going to make her a hero. What's her name again?
Bree Newsom. It's actually Brittany,
Bree?
But they call it Bree. Yes.
Brittany Newsom. Man, Brittany, I said, it took a woman to take the flag down. I said, I'll go on there, lady. I said, that was so stupid. And when you were saying that, I was just sitting here having the TV on mute, and I saw her coming down with it. I had seen that so many times, and I thought it was so cute. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Brittany Newsom. Bree Newsom. That's going to be a
household
word. Well,
it obviously took some climbing skills. She had equipment and everything. It seemed
she
like
equipment.
She probably had some climbing experience. You know, the thing about her taking the flag down and other incidents relating to this flag and rationalizations is I want to see, a great part of me at least wants to see just how far these crackers are prepared to go to defend that obscene flag. You know, are they prepared to commit mass murder? Are they prepared to surround the flag with
that's what I was going to say. They've been committing mass murder.
I'm talking
murder.
About today, right now. Are they prepared to surround the flag with automatic weapons and mow down anybody who tries to disturb it? You know, it's the fact that they could in any way.
Columbia this weekend. The Klan is.
I'm sure they are.
I don't know.
What about the black churches that have been burned recently? I thought I heard plural for black churches, but then when I was watching the news, they were only talking about one church.
No, there have been six churches.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I have some cool. Well, there's been six churches since the mass killing in Charleston. Six predominantly black churches have been burnt to the ground and they've all been arson. The FBI and ATF, I think, are investigating all of those as hate crimes.
Where did they happen? Were they all in South Carolina?
Mostly in the southeast. I think the Carolinas and Georgia here in Georgia. Those were the ones that I've heard of.
Well,
so
in my experience,
2 weeks.
There's been, and when is the Klan going to be marching?
This Saturday, I believe it was, at the State House in Columbia.
Good. Yeah, let them all march so that they can see for themselves and the world can see the white supremacist genocidal scumbags that these people are. You know, one thing I've noticed about incidents like this is it shows them up for who they are. And the whole world can see what kind of people they are and the kind of minds that they have and let them deal with it. I think we'd still have segregation in this country if it wasn't for World War II and Eisenhower realizing that the world was watching the United States and was watching the apartheid system that existed in the United States and with the Marshall Plan and the United States' new role at the time as a supreme world power, it just wasn't going to work. Slavery and apartheid and talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave and how God is on our side and so forth, that just wasn't cutting it back after World War II. And certainly Eisenhower could have cared less because that just wasn't his trip. The military and, of course, the Republicans at that time were arch conservatives. He would have been perfectly happy to let things stay the way they were with apartheid because, frankly, he didn't give a damn. But it was only his international concerns that caused him to support Brown versus Topeka and send troops down to Arkansas and so forth. So let them march. Let the world see these scumbags in their robes, and then let the United States talk about how far we've come, you know, in the wake of that. I hope they all march. I hope 10 million of them march.
Yeah, they're marching on the wrong side of history, and they don't even realize it.
Exactly.
Well, they're pretty limited in their thinking, but then on the other hand, what we have to do realize also is that these people are very much tied into the economy in terms of corporate America, in terms of a lot of the justice system, the judges, a lot of just everything is so intertwined with this hate stuff, and most people would like to have us think they don't want any part of it, but they sure know what to do when things are getting kind of rocky for them. They'll go and find those same people, and they will have them to help them out, just like they did back in 1930,
40, 50. Yeah, but the problem is with them doing that is everything is too much out in the open. Just like all those networks dropping Donald Trump for expressing the opinion that you know, probably three-quarters of the U.S. population has about Mexicans and other Hispanics coming into our country. I don't think that they're, you know, by and large thieves, murderers, rapists, and so on, as like what he's saying, but the reason they have the acceptance that they have in this country is because of the power of the vote. They'll vote in a block. And you know, these political parties, they would support, you know, Godzilla. They would try to make him an honorary citizen of the United States if it thought it would help him get votes. So they can do that, but they can't do it behind closed doors the way they normally could. And I'm quite sure that these television networks that dropped Donald Trump, he was dropped by NBC and Univision, which is, I believe, a Hispanic network, and at least one others. He was excluded from the support he was getting. He was in partnership with Miss Universe and some other beauty contests. These people, for the most part, you know, they don't have any problem with what he's saying. They just have any problem with being affiliated with it. And that's essentially what Donald Trump said. You know, I think he's some kind of a maniac. With that yellow hair that he has, he looks absolutely like he's crazy, because he is. But he can afford to be crazy. However, I think that's a similar situation with the racist support that the Klan and others have, the people supporting the flag, and white supremacists in general, which is, like I say, I'm sure about three quarters of the country. I'll just say that I realized when I came out here from New York City, came to Kansas City, Missouri, which is the South, that these white people, and when I say these, I shouldn't say these, I should just say white people, grew up believing from their parents, from the time they could articulate two words, you know, the first words out of their mouth were mama and dada, and the third word out of their mouth is nigger. They believe, because they were taught to believe from birth, that they are a superior race and that they are smarter and more worthy than black people, period. And even though...
Hello, can I ask yourself over a few minutes? Hello?
Well,
I can hear you.
Sister Hattie, can you hear me?
Everybody here? Go on right ahead, please.
Yeah, I have a question to your listening audience around this question of the Confederate flag and this whole question of symbolism. Can anyone tell us, fundamentally speaking, what is the fundamental difference between the meaning of the Confederate flag and the American flag? I would argue that more damage, more harm, and continuation of war oppression is still being inflicted by African people and people of color around the world under the American flag, more so than it has under the Confederate flag. I think it's great. You know, people can take the first step. I see the Confederate flag is like the little brother, and the American flag is the big brother. That's taking a step forward, but you know, if you take down the Confederate flag, so we're also sure the American flag come down. That's even more oppressive. So have done even more damage to the well-being of African people in humanity. Can I give anyone to respond to that?
Oh, I would definitely love to respond to that. Thank you, Brother Africa, because you know what? I was saying that to someone just recently, that it seems to me the flag is not the problem. If you ask me, the discrimination is the problem. All of the things that happens to all of us around the world, in this country, you can take that flag down, but if you don't do one thing, provide an equal playing field for jobs and education, the flag doesn't do that. People do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the hearts of the people. And I had that conversation yesterday with somebody. It's about human life. It's not about that darn Confederate flag flying over anywhere. That's my thought on it. I totally agree with you about that darn flag.
Because a lot of times those are just smoke screen distractions from the real issues where people need to be looking at. The issues that people at this point in time are powerless in terms of competing against those who are powerful or those who have the power. And they will create all of these distractions because fundamentally, oppression in another form, in other forms, is still oppression. And it doesn't change, it's a form of it. For example, they may no longer wear white suits, but what they have done was took all the suits, the white suits, and they go on and took on the blue suits. Most of these Confederate folks is in the U.S. police departments, local police departments. They're in the military. They are in institutions that can so-called legally terrorize African people. They just change the form. And that people must come to understand that. I think Nkrumah said it all. When he said that if we're talking about addressing the ears of our problems, we must understand that to eradicate capitalism, fundamentally, nothing will change because capitalism is the gentleman method of slavery. Slavery never ends, it just changes form. It changes form from direct chattel slavery to a form of an economic system called capitalism. It's just another form of slavery. That's what we are dealing with. We must understand the difference between form and action. Now, when we come to address that, it creates a whole new dynamic. And I think you see the ending for what he really is. I can deal with them on all levels and all forms. Fundamentally, this capitalist system got to be eradicated. That is the fundamental contradiction, and that is the major tool they're oppressing our people in humanity. It's the system itself, its institutions. Was it a military institution? Was it a cultural institution? Was it an education institution? Was it an economic institution, i.e. banks, etc.? All these are institutions structured and organized in a way to maintain domination over African people, their mind, their body, and their soul. So I think for us, the starting point is if we get our people to begin to really start studying and get a more, a clear critique, understand the capitalism and how we fit in and how it controls human labor, we then have a basis of beginning to talk about putting plans together to transform this society and the world that will bring about a just world for all human beings. God's race, color, creed.
So, what do you think about that?
Unfortunately, discrimination is built into the fabric of this country.
I agree.
And I don't know if it's going to change in my lifetime, to be honest. We still have to fight for a day when it's not here. And for people to believe that it's a post-racial society is either lying or willfully ignorant.
Well,
if you take away the material basis for discriminations. Okay, if there's no material basis and there's no economic benefit from being racist, then there will be no need to be racist. But if you don't take away the material basis that allows it to exist, and why is it, you'll continue to have it. That's why I'm saying the question at the end, you've got to transform and change the economic foundation, which is how this country functions and operates. It's function and it has a benefit for racism. Let's take away those factors when people don't benefit from it. Then you have a different phenomenon. Yes, sir.
Hello, Sister Hattie. Sister Hattie.
Yes, you can go right ahead, Brother Brown.
Yeah. In regards to what the brother said about the flag, we have to understand the symbolism of white supremacy and racism. Okay. The so-called hand-picked Negro leaders that are adamant about expressing their concerns for not using the N-word and not being able to have the flag taken down, that has said nothing to the constraints that have been placed upon African people on this continent and abroad for the last 2,000 years. I don't care what flag they flag. None of those flags represent us. When will we, if we want to have a flag, just use the flag that Marcus Garvey established. Just use the red, black, and green. Okay, we find it very offensive as so-called Negroes in this Western Hemisphere to even have a mindset to be separated. We keep talking about this inclusion of liberation. They have never included you. There is never going to be an equal playing field. There has never been an equal playing field, and it's not designed to have an equal playing field. Even down to this last two presidential elections, he was handpicked to do this in order to continue the elements of white supremacy and racism that control this country. Now that his two terms are up, you know, he made history. He'll ride off into the sunset just like a cowboy. Okay, with nothing being accomplished for us. You know, and we should not even get caught up into that flag issue, because that will not change no job economics. That will not stop the United States government from allowing the importation of drugs into our community. That will not stop the importation of guns into our community so we can self-annihilate each other. None of these elements have taken place in the last 8 years that's going to benefit us. We have to go back to the basics of what was taught by Marcus Garvey and Booker T. Washington about self-initiative. If we don't institute that ourselves, it's all right if we send our kids to school, because that's the legal thing to do. But what's wrong with a school of our kids sitting at home for 3 hours a day playing the video with school while we don't allow our kids to learn their own history for 3 hours a day? Why we don't contribute the time and the efforts needed to substantiate an Africa free school? As many of us who have college education, as many of us who have degrees in the educational field, we have to realize that we are at war. And when you are at war, you have an enemy. And if you don't attack your enemy, I'd be damned if your enemy would not attack you. So if we want to get on the offensive of this war, let's go back, let's train our people to learn how to sew, how to make clothes, how to do some necessary things, how to do plumbing work, carpenter work, how to fix up their own houses. We don't need white supremacy to continue to control us. It's just like the mindset of some of these black people who are under the denomination of the United Methodist Church. This is a white orchestrated organization using the banner of religion to control the economics and resources of these churches that they place in our community. We need to step away from that. I don't understand why it's so hard for us to want to be separated. I have no ideology about being included in their delusional effort to continue to oppress us. And like one quote said, in order for your oppressor to control the elements of your oppression, he only has to have the mind control of the oppressed. Our minds are controlled by those who oppress us because we have spent numerous years trying to be like them. I'm done.
I agree with you.
Wow, that's that's part of it. But I want to go back to one statement. I think it was GQ you talked about. You don't think it'll be in your lifetime. Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to have and think positive on that, because none of us ever thought we would in our lifetime see a black president either. I'm not talking about the mentality of the president. I'm just talking about the outside skin. Because
we
know we have someone.
We didn't control that election. We had nothing to do with him being nominated. We had nothing to do with him being elected, because these people are chosen to be elected. You understand me? By the Bilderbergers, they know who they're gonna put in there. They know how long they're gonna keep them in there. That has nothing to do with us.
Okay, that's one perspective of it. And you have another one, GQ? What's your perspective?
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. I saw historical lines like I'd never seen before. I saw more voter participation within our ethnic group than I even thought was possible. So you really can't say that that we didn't have anything to do with the election.
Have you ever heard the definition of an illusion?
I'm familiar.
Okay, what is an illusion what is the definition of an illusion?
An illusion is something that appears to be real but isn't.
Thank you. And if you trace the history of the presidential elections in this country from the beginning, with that their alleged president as being George Washington, up until the present-day president, who do you think control every presidential election in this country?
The voters.
The people never control the presidential election.
Well, they have electors that they choose.
The electors are chosen by the local people. There is a way to have this input, and we want to make sure we allow everyone to view and be okay with their view. And we're not trying to convince anyone to change their viewpoint necessarily, because that would take a lot of time. So let's have some information.
They don't have nothing but time.
No, no, I'm talking about our time here on the show.
Okay, that's fine.
You want to say something else? Marvin, is that you?
No, I think it's Brother Africa. I agree with the earlier brother. This is an inclusion of illusion.
Right.
We have not chosen none of the president because people don't understand.
Right.
It's a system. More people design systems that all things has its place, its function, it has its sense of interest. And just by nature, you know, last election, from my understanding, they had they spent some like $600 million, I think. The last election, they're talking about this election may be something like $1 billion for this one seat. Now, the question becomes, why is it that it takes so much money to win that particular seat? And if it takes that amount of money, then do you think that their vote will have a sway over those who give up the money? No, that's an illusion. They have already nominated a range of folks who can become president, and they give you so many and let you choose among the folks that they have already preordained. These people are not chosen by the people. Brother's right.
Whoever they have decided to be the next president,
that's who's going to be the next president.
They will make more history.
When I say they, my brother, you talking about the ruling elite. You tell the most powerful people with money, these top corporations, the billionaires. The list of the 80 families that are the most richest folks in the world. They have more money than down the half of the whole world. 80 families. Those families, group that up. Those people are the ones that make those kind of decisions. The people who run the industrial police military operation.
That would mean that you're powerless, right?
Wouldn't that indicate
that you're powerless?
If they're controlling everything?
That's the problem.
You're right.
Right.
We are powerless.
We're not powerless because we are powerless.
We are powerless because we've been disorganized and powerless. But as of right now, yes, those who have power is in power because they are organized. And they have created the material basis.
And why can't we become organized?
We got to change that.
Why can't we become organized?
Because those that have been powerless have found different kinds of tools to miseducate us, to misdirect us, to give us all kinds of material things, to divide us. There's all kinds of mechanisms to make us, to put us in a state of, a state of unequalness, a disequalness. That doesn't say they give us tools for miseducation. They give us tools for bad food. They give us all kinds of ideas that go against their own self-interest, and we internalize it, and because it's so systematic and they can do it on a consistent basis, this is how they come to dominate the material aspects of what we hear, see, and taste. And therefore, we are influenced by those kind of forces, and we become those things that they designed us to become. Have you heard about this concept of social engineering? Social engineering, that's what they do. They create certain conditions, and tinkerers create something out of those conditions and make it a certain way that they want you to be. And that's what happened. That's why you have formal, that's what formal education is all about. It's not about education. It's about indoctrinating and creating a certain set, a mindset of people so they can function and behave in a certain way after so many years. And that's what we are victims of.
And I think that's partially correct, that we are victims of that. But at the same time, I think we also have that opportunity. And I'm in agreement with you up to a point, from the standpoint that, yes, those people have lots of power.
And where is that?
Let me finish up. This piece. I just want to go to this local piece where, yes, I believe that totally. If someone mentioned that we could change some of the systemic problems and things, I believe that's true. And I think on a very local level, we do have enough power. We do have enough potential to make things different. However, now at this juncture, these people that you're talking about, the ruling class, what they have done is infiltrated even at the local level, putting in people who are going to be determined to do what they want them to do. And so I think we can change that if we are organized, particularly at the local level. There are some decisions, and we are not powerless. We are not powerless in the sense that we can start doing what Brother Brown said, start doing some things, you know, ourselves, learning how to do sewing again, right, learning how to do that again, stop taking this indoctrination, and just figure out how we're going to determine our own futures.
How can you become a power broker in a system that has controlled the world for 2,000 years? How can you step up to the plate and allow yourself to gain any kind of power if you do not have self-help initiatives? We are dependent upon the same slave masters, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren as we were when we were on the plantation. And if you are a plantation-minded Negro, then you will always feel like there is some hope for you in an institution that has been designed to destroy you. Why do you think when they opened up NAFTA and they allowed all these immigrant workers to come into this country, who do you think it hurt? Who got hurt the first? We did. From every job aspect that they could do. And what they did was they gave them green cards and they said, y'all come on over here. Then they said, well, wait a minute, we don't want them over here. But they're already over here. And they're working. They're working every day at jobs that you can't even apply for, because whether they work for less money or no money, these are jobs that we could afford to do. And they're telling you that if you don't do for yourself, our economics depends on one thing. Self-help economics. We can no longer
I
depend.
Thoroughly agree with you there. The self-help model is definitely.
Okay. Well, let me finish. We cannot okay. be, how can I help myself if I'm dependent on a system that you created? I didn't create capitalism. It wasn't designed for me to prosper behind. Because the mindset of those who think they can prosper behind a capitalistic society will only come forward in the complete annihilation economically of your people. And if we are economically empowered to these elements of white supremacy and racism, then where can we get, the only way we can gain that economic power is if we learn how to spend our own money with us. And we haven't learned that yet. And until we learn how to do that and go back to segregating our economics. See, when you segregate your economics, that was the main element of integration that hurt us.
But don't you think we did learn to do that? We have done that before, and I would say that we need to go back to that because we wouldn't have had the Black Wall Street. We would not have had
Black Wall Street was 100 years. That was 100 years ago. We had Black Wall Street. What did they do? What did they do to Black Wall Street? The federal government destroyed Black Wall Street. The federal government, the same government that flew the Stars and Stripes. And on that flight, that's the same government.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, yeah, it was a long time ago, but we've done it before.
And they came to destroy it. And they came to destroy it just overnight. But can I just make one more statement, Sister Hannah, as you're listening to all of this, in reference to the discussion? I agree as a people, the people are not innate powerless. It's conditions which they folks are under that make them powerless. But they can't overcome it. And they can overcome it by looking at the Cuban Revolution. Kenneth has made this statement. I just would like to invite your listening audience that on behalf of the African Awareness Association, we have a Black History Freedom Travel Tour to Cuba this December, December the 18th to January the 3rd. We'd like to invite the progressive revolutionary communities or the African communities in the United States and progressive folks to come and travel with us and learn from their experiences. And again, for those who may be interested more, we encourage you to email us at African_Awareness_Association@Yahoo, or you can call 804-549-7492. I think that would be an excellent place to go and learn and see and have a discussion in terms of saying how they were able to do and overcome the things that they have overcame versus the things that we are going through. So I thank you, sister.
Hello.
Hello.
I was expecting a response from Hattie, but I haven't heard it. I'm beginning to wonder if she's still connected with the call.
I think she got cut off.
Okay, David. I'm sorry. I'm back on here now. What were you expecting now?
Oh, I was just wondering if you were on the line, but
I'm here.
Before we close. And I know that this might make some people on this call foam at the mouth. I happen to have great respect for Obama. I think he's an absolute genius. He's an excellent president as far as presidents go. And I think that having him in the White House is 1,000 times better than having some cracker in there, period. I think he's accomplished a great deal. I don't think he's a race traitor or a flunky for the white establishment. So that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you. And we will end on that note today because it's time to cut off. We only had one more minute. We'll have a couple of seconds if you want to take them.
I'll give you Obama. Go ahead, Carla, please.
Yeah, I was just saying I was in agreement with David.
Okay.
About the president.
Yay. Well, thank goodness for Obama today. Thank you very much. And